Not a problem. How you been?
Good, busy, I can't complain.
Yeah, I've been busy a lot. I mean, I've been seeing a lot of your stuff, like Moon Knight, a lot of Marvel
Punisher.
stuff, Punisher.
Yeah, they've been great to work with over there, and it's been really fun, and now it's getting me more work. Now that I've got Space Ghost over at Dynamite, and they've offered me a really nice, generous runway for this book, and so things are going great. I'm just kind of juggling work, and I'm getting married in the fall, so planning all
Oh,
that. And
congratulations, brother.
thank you. Long time coming. But it's been good. The right kind of chaos, the right kind of busy. But I feel very lucky and very grateful.
That's really awesome. And with Space Ghost coming about, I mean, like, yeah, tell me more about Space Ghost. I mean, I know Space Ghost from Space Ghost Coast to Coast, and I saw like a few
Sure.
of his cartoons, but tell me more
Yeah.
about your first introduction to Space Ghost.
Sure. Well, yeah, I grew up a child of the 90s, so my
Me too.
introduction to Space Ghost was also Coast to Coast. For years I only knew of him as this ironic talk show host, and it wasn't until my first internship at DC Comics that I realized the history of all of it. I started learning about like the history of comics and some of the iconic figures in comics history. And so Alex Toth was one of them, the designer and creator of Space Ghost. And so that's when I realized, like, oh, Space Ghost was like actually got his start the same year as Adam West's Batman, and it was a traditional super
Yeah.
take. And you can see a lot of shared DNA between those two shows. And I think while I was at DC, either they did a re-release of the Joe Kelly and Ariel Olivetti trade, or somehow I got a copy of it. And so I was reading that, and that was a very Batman Begins kind
Oh
of
yeah, it
style.
was. I think I've read it too. Was it where he
Yeah.
was like a former peacekeeper or something, and then
Yeah.
like, yeah.
Yeah. And so I realized not only was he, a superhero with sort of in the traditional style in the 1960s, but that there was like a wide variety of interpretations and tones to the character. And so as I started kind of learning more and more about Space Ghost, I realized like he has a lot of shared DNA with characters like Batman and Superman, but even like Iron Man, because for those who aren't familiar with the character, he's not superhuman. He doesn't have inherent powers of his own. They're all tech based. He's got his power bands, which give him a variety of powers, including power over fire, power over ice, laser beams, force fields, and then he's got his Inviso Belt, which allows him to turn invisible. Sort of as the Space Ghost name, and in addition to like flight and enhanced strength, as well as he teams up with not one but three sidekicks, teenage twins, Jan and Jace, and their pet monkey Blip.
I remember Blip.
And so it was one of those things. Like it seems like many projects that I do in the licensed sphere. I learned about these things, and then I kind of had it rattling around in the back of my head for just the right moment. And in this case, Dynamite Entertainment had just announced a partnership with Warner Brothers Discovery, doing a line of licensed comics. And so they announced that at New York Comic Con last year. And Joe Ryban, an editor over there, I had been emailing with Dynamite for years. I've known Nick Barucci over there for about 15 years, and so every time I'd have a new book coming out, I'd be emailing Dynamite and being like, "Hey, just want to let you know I got something new coming out." And so, having worked on Moon Knight City of the Dead and Punisher over at Marvel, I think Dynamite said, "Okay, like we've got this like really like true blue superhero property that we're working on. We would love for David to work on it." And so, when Joe approached me, I was so taken by the universe of potential to this character. Alex Toth was a brilliant designer, and he would he it was just fastball after fastball, from Space Ghost design to his iconic bench of villains, Zorak, Brack, Metallus, the Council of Doom, and more. And the thing that really got me was, all these original episodes of Space Ghost were 5 or 6 minutes a pop. They were very short,
Oh, yeah.
bookended in between a Dino Boy. And so those episodes were really based on just like energy and vibes. We never really got a chance to, there's no history or continuity to any of these episodes. It's just, you drop readers right in the thick of it. There's a villain that shows up, Space Ghost has to stop him, and boom, you're on to the next episode. And so the great thing about this for me is that we're really taking the comics medium and getting to dig even deeper into this universe. So not only are we sort of taking the original vision and energy of the 60s cartoon and kind of bringing it into 2024 storytelling, but we're also able to really do a deep dive and explore these characters in as dynamic and character-driven a way as possible.
Awesome. Can you tell me more about that deep dive too, of like what you're
Yeah.
planning to do with the Space Ghosts?
Yeah. Well, for me, when I started working on this project, I researched everything. I watched every single episode of the original 60s
Oh,
series,
wow.
every episode of the 80s revival and Space Stars. I even watched Space Ghost teaming up with Batman and the Brave and the Bold.
That is cool.
I reread every comics appearance, including Mark Evanier and Steve Rude's Comico one shot. In addition to all the DC stuff, just to kind of get my head around, like, oh, there's so many different facets to this universe. But for me, it's also, we're able to kind of like really flesh out this world and kind of give it like one big cohesive narrative. The big influences that I have for this series are Batman the Animated Series and Batman the Long Halloween. And so, for me, we're able to take Space Ghost and really put him through a gauntlet of all of these iconic villains. And so everybody you're expecting, you're going to see them at some point, as well as a few deeper cuts that you might not expect. But the big question that I had when I was looking at this is, you see a character like Batman, and sometimes he's got a sidekick and sometimes he doesn't. Like it's just it can go in either direction depending on what comic you have. But for me, what really stood out about Space Ghost is he doesn't have just one sidekick. He has three. And they were just as part a much part of those original episodes as he was. And so for me, the big question I had was like, well, how did that happen? Like, how does a
Yeah.
vigilante wind up, taking in two kids and a monkey? It feels like it was a very specific choice on the part of the original cartoon, and it's something I wanted to honor. And so that's really the emotional through line of our series, is that without spoiling too much, we're going to see how Space Ghost winds up in Jan and Jace's orbit. That's really the crux of our first issue, in that Jan and Jace have sort of a tragedy that kind of spurs them on this journey. And Space Ghost has his own tragedy that sort of led him on this years of crusading the spaceways. And so what happens when they kind of encounter each other for the first time? And so we'll get to see their dynamic evolve on really an issue-to-issue basis. So how Jan and Jace go from being these orphaned rescues to becoming Space Ghost sidekicks, to becoming trusted partners in their own right, and eventually kind of the surrogate found family, and eventually kind of giving Space Ghost a new reason to live. And so really, like, the found family element is something that I think makes me fall in love with the characters. I think if readers haven't fallen in love with those characters by like the second issue, I think your heart is made of sterner stuff than mine. But
Yeah.
it's a nice study in contrast, where we're able to kind of have this variety of cool villains, which then leads to a variety of different tones and even genres of adventures that we can put these characters in. But it's always rooted in that four-man dynamic between Space Ghost, Jan, Jace, and Blip.
Yeah, because like I think in that previous issue that was written by DC Comics, we see a little bit of that, but we don't see too much of it.
Yeah, that really stood out to me was that, yeah, in Joe Kelly's run, Jan and Jace appear briefly. Space Ghost,
Yeah.
it, like we that you really follow Space Ghost from becoming a peacekeeper to basically, being on the outs with his peacekeeper group, and then waking up on this seemingly deserted planet and kind of coming back as a vigilante. And so it takes a few issues before he even rescues Jan and Jace, and then they really are kind of they don't really factor too much into that narrative. I think he comes back for them at the end. And even in
Yeah.
Future Quest, with Jeff Parker and Doc Shanner, Space Ghost himself really it kind of bookends that story. And I believe it's Jan that we see a decent amount of in that, but like they're not really as a unit in this. So I feel like, seeing that it's not an origin story and that we're going to belabor the point of how Space Ghost became Space Ghost. We actually are going to cover that pretty quickly, pretty early on. But it's more of an origin story of how did this team come together? And I think that's a really fun thing for me. I always say that in the same way that like evolution always wants to turn everything into a crab, I feel like for me, I always want to turn everything into an ensemble piece.
Yeah.
Because yeah, I like the variety of voices and personalities. And for me, the fun of a story is watching characters play off of each other. And so yeah, I consider this very much an ensemble book. Space Ghost, of course, he's our title character. But having, like there's not going to be an issue where like Jan or Jace or Blip or MIA, like this is very much a four-man group. And so being able to explore their personalities was a lot of fun for me. I mean, Space Ghost, for example, we'll learn a little bit, as the series goes on, but he's a tragic figure. He's been
Yeah.
the sole survivor of his colony, which is now referred to as the Ghost Planet. And that attack on his planet turned him into this kind of Caped Crusader, where he's out there. Pirates and hijackers are like hitting distant colonies all the time. The universe is a big place, and the Galactic Patrol can't be everywhere at once. And so Space Ghost is kind of sort of getting his revenge one pirate at a time.
Wow.
But at the same time, that experience, it's really isolated him. It's sort of he hasn't really moved on from his tragedy at all. And so I say, you put him in the room with a pirate and he knows exactly what to do. But like as a human being, he's very much a work in progress. And so he's sort of the least likely single dad figure you would expect, but circumstances are going to kind of put him in that role. And then meanwhile, you have Jan and Jace, the twins. And they're you can see it in our preview pages and in our solicit copy, so it's not too much of a spoiler, but their colony is attacked by pirates. And what winds up happening is that is a colony that Space Ghost is trying to rescue, and that's how they kind of come
Come
together.
together, yeah.
But I think Jan and Jace, and Blip as well, I think are really special characters for me because I think it speaks to something that I grew up with, something that's very personal to me, in that my younger siblings are triplets. And so
Oh,
I
wow.
know, yeah, so that's why I'm not scared of comics or deadlines, is because I've had to juggle three toddlers before I turned 10. And so I think it's something that's very personal to me. I know how multiples work very, very well in a very personal way. For example, my siblings, they were born a minute apart. And that minute shaped their entire dynamic. They're almost 30 years old now. And my brother, who was born 2 minutes ahead of the other two, everybody kind of defers to him as the oldest.
Oh,
He really is
wow,
kind of like the dog of that trio. And then my baby sister, who was 2 minutes behind, everybody kind of dotes on her as the baby sister. And then my middle brother is kind of, the most middle brother who ever middled.
yeah.
And so I really took that to inform my approach on Jan and Jace. For me, the big influences were Dick Grayson and Babs Gordon, sort of at the beginning of their careers, but also
Yeah.
Ops and Tim from Jurassic Park. And so for me, Jan is the oldest, by a minute. And so she's the responsible one. She's the thoughtful one. She's the one who thinks things through. She finds herself in a position that a lot of only girls do in their families, when it's just them and then a bunch of guys, is that she's got to kind of th think about things, because Jace certainly won't, and even Space Ghost sometimes gets tunnel vision. But that means also she's tough, she's feisty, she's the one who calls out Space Ghost on his crap, like to his face.
Oh, wow.
We have a scene early on in the run where she just lets Space Ghost have it, and Space Ghost kind of takes off, because he would much rather like punch out an asteroid field than deal with the wrath of a 14-year-old girl. And I think that's something like a lot of single dads can like probably appreciate. But she's tough, she's a crack shot with a blaster. And I think for her, she's got her own tragedies, she and Jace, And so she feels like she's got to keep everything together. Like she, if she's not responsible, it'll all fall apart. And then like what little family she has left will get scattered to the winds. Jace is kind of the id to her superego a bit, in that he's the impulsive one. He's the one who will leap before he looks. I don't know if we'll ever get to it specifically in text, but the way that I kind of always imagined him is that, you know, he's probably dyslexic. He probably was not like great in a traditional classroom setting, but he's a natural with his hands. You know, he's a natural mechanic. He's a born pilot. He's the one who's always cracking jokes. He's the one with the sense of humor. And I think he sees it as, you know, we lost our family, and, you know, Jan has so much on her shoulders, and Space Ghost can be kind of a brooding figure. He feels like it's up to him to kind of keep the group together by trying to make them laugh. And I think that's like a very sweet kind of characterization.
Kind of
And
like Dick
so,
Grayson.
yeah. So like having those, you know, Jan and Jace as contrasts to Space Ghost himself. And then they have their pet monkey Blip, who, you know, is, I thought for, as I was putting this together, I was like, should we keep Blip? And I thought, yeah, you have to, you know, it's such a specific choice to that original cartoon that like it would be like having a sundae without a cherry on top.
Yeah, I
And
think that was like,
so
the downside to the last comic I felt was just that there was no Blip.
sure, yeah. Well, you know, I think Blip is a really fun character, and you know, watching the original Space Ghost episodes, he kind of reminds me of, not in a grim and gritty way, but he kind of reminds me of Wolverine and the Hellfire Club. Where like this was before Wolverine was like Wolverine, the flagship mutant of all X-Men. But you know, before that Hellfire Club issue, everybody kind of overlooked him. And then, you know, he's the last man standing, and he's thrown into this sewer, and he's like, all right, you had your shot, it's my turn. And I feel like Blip has actually a lot in common in that you know, Space Ghost and the twins would get captured, and everybody would overlook Blip. And then Blip is the one who kind of like pulls out the win. You know, snatches victory out of the jaws of defeat. And so, you know, he's a fun character. You know, he's the loyal pet. He's Jan and Jace's pet, before everything goes down at their colony. And you know, he's loyal to a fault. He loves those kids, but he's mischievous, and he's food driven, and he's very funny. Like we always try to kind of make a have an opportunity in each issue just to have like for Blip to have some sort of moment, because honestly, it's such a weird choice that I was like, I have to honor this. It's so specific. But he's very important. I'm not going to spoil too much, but you'll kind of get an inkling by issue one. But Blip is very important. I'd say he's the linchpin of our whole narrative. And so having those characters together, it lends a nice dramatic friction. Space Ghost's mission, you know, his life is not built for kids, and so really the metaphor that I see it as is he's a single guy who's suddenly like adopted two kids and a pet, and
The
he's in a
surrogate
little
father,
over,
yeah.
yeah, and so you know he's in a little over his head, and meanwhile these kids also have to roll with it because Ghost Planet is not built for children. And so yeah, watching them kind of play off of each other, and sometimes they bicker and sometimes they argue, and they don't always see eye to eye on the way to do things. And that will often mean that, you know, sometimes the kids will kind of go off half-cocked, and Space Ghost will be like, oh no, like how do I protect these kids? And vice versa. Sometimes Space Ghost, you know, is down for the count, and it's these kids that are the X factor that kind of let them, you know, see, you know, live to see another day. And watching them kind of like bicker and grow and learn from each other and start to trust each other and then like start to feel really protective of one another. It's a really fun character arc for all involved. I think the closest things that I can say that I've written to Space Ghost, it's not as bleak as Spencer and Locke, but I think that like core bond of partnership and friendship, I think really carries through to Space Ghost. And also my work in Savage Avengers. I think when we first announced that book, a lot of people said, oh, that's a cover with a lot of gritty dudes. And then, you know, by like issue three, you suddenly are like, oh, they all kind of have like warm marshmallow centers to them. Like they all
It's an
just needed a
oxymoron,
friend.
yeah.
Yeah. You know, and so I think there's a lot of DNA of those books in Space Ghost. But we're able to kind of take this high-flying cosmic adventure as well. And so, yeah, it's been a real gift as a writer to be able to work in a series like that. And yeah, I'm having a real blast working on it.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun. I mean, love what you said about Jan and Jace and the relationship between Jan and Jace and Space Ghost and that whole dynamic and Blip. You know, it kind of reminds me a lot of like, you know, Carl from The Walking Dead, even where, you know, kids like Carl, where they grow up and then like they're, you know, they're in a world that's not really built for them, but yet they have to adapt, you know, or else they die.
And I will say we're certainly not we're not grim or gritty with this book at all. Like, I think
Yeah.
tonally we're definitely in between Batman the Animated Series and Batman the Long Halloween. And I know some people, and understandably so, given that I wrote Spencer and Locke and I wrote the OZ, they're like, oh, is he doing like a grim, like Robert Pattinson's The Space Ghost? And that's not the case whatsoever. I mean, the only DNA that I would say we might have in common with that movie is just I really enjoyed the way that they kind of added new wrinkles to the villains, the way that they interpreted Penguin and
Like the
Riddler
new
and
wrinkles,
Joker.
yeah.
And we are that is something we are going to be doing with each of the villains, and that like I said, in the original cartoons, they really relied a lot on the designs. And there was little bits and pieces of characterization to be sure. Brack, for example, he's not a world conqueror by any means. He's not somebody out who's looking to take over the world. He's a pirate. He's looking to get paid. He's looking to,
To
hijack
get
whatever the
rich,
next cool
yeah.
ship is. Whereas like somebody like Zorak, he's a homicidal praying mantis, and I think there's something like inherently alien about the way that he sees the world, which kind of makes him a really nice arch nemesis for Space Ghost. In that Space Ghost is sort of a guy who's playing and not being a human being, based on his core concept, but he is very much a human being. Like, there's definitely a human heart beating underneath that cape and cowl, whereas Zorak is just kind of like over the bend, like just an insane homicidal praying mantis. And so being able to kind of like take new wrinkles for these characters, Brack, for example. We added a really fun little wrinkle for him that it's like, oh, that's exactly what an opportunist like Brack would be doing in this universe. Figuring out ways to kind of populate this universe in an organic way and give each of these villains their own niche. Somebody
I
like the
like
Widow,
that.
for example, who, she's not somebody who is going to be like diving in, fists first. Like somebody like Metalis, maybe, or Brack or Zorak. So it's thinking like, okay, how do we kind of frame her and her unique abilities in a way that like still poses a threat to Space Ghost? And meanwhile, also seeing like the way that she winds up interacting with Jan, where like she sees Jan's the only girl in this. And
Yeah.
in a weird way has like kind of a like almost like a sick maternal instinct over her. Like, that's like very interesting to me. And so yeah, these characters, like I said, Alex Toth, he delivered so many incredible villains, and you can see how archetypical and iconic they are just based on the designs. And so that's been a real fun challenge, is like, how do we honor that original vision, but also like keep digging deeper and keep finding new ways to make these characters as dynamic and active and unique from one another as possible. So the great way that we're kind of exploring that is structurally. We're doing a lot of done-in-one stories with this series. Dynamite has really offered us a very generous runway. I've got a little over a year's worth of stories planned already.
Oh,
And with
nice.
room for
That's gonna be
more, the
fun.
desire, the demand is there. But we're doing a lot of done-in-ones because the books that I'm responding to the most right now, that's what they're doing. You see Ryan North's Fantastic Four. You see Steve Orlando's Scarlet Witch. You see what Jed MacKay is doing on Moon Knight. And, those are all very self-contained stories where if you pick up an issue of Space Ghost every month, you're like, oh, I'm going to get a self-contained story with a beginning, middle, and end, a new villain every month. And that way, when we do occasionally do like a two-parter, that's when we like really reclaim the power of the cliffhanger. That means things are going real sideways for Space Ghost. He's really on his heels if this needs to take two issues. And I learned that working on my Fantastic Four two-parter at Marvel is that like, oh, doing a two-parter, like that cliffhanger is a really natural, nice break,
Yeah.
structurally speaking. And so we're gonna save those for like the biggest and baddest threats for Space Ghost. And then we might have a three-parter, down the line for something really ambitious. But yeah, we're really kind of we're trying to keep these adventures self-contained, and I think that speaks to the episodic format of the original series. But also, I am fully cognizant that there's a whole generation of readers who only know Space Ghost as a talk show host. Like that could have been me. And so for me, it's like, how do we get readers up to speed as fast as possible? And it's by doing those self-contained episodes. It's racking up all these different adventures over a variety of different tones and genres that people will start to realize, like, oh, there's more to him. That original vision still has merit, and that there's a reason why we're reclaiming him as the greatest superhero in the galaxy. And so, yeah, it's been really fun. And I think for me as a writer, especially as one a writer who often gets restless, this has been a real gift for me, because we can do like a high flying adventure, and then we can do like almost like a heist issue, and then we can also do an issue that's even a little spookier in tone. And so it's been a really nice, it speaks to the enduring characteristics of Space Ghost as a character, that you can tell such a wide variety and spectrum of stories, and they all still feel organic to the character. I think it's yeah, it's one of those things that I am still continually shocked by my good fortune, because like I said, when they first approached me to do this character, I was like, how has this not been done before? And I think it's because, in a lot of ways, coast to coast, I have to thank them. I really owe them. They're the reason that Space Ghost is still alive. But it was such a
They kept them,
departure from
yeah.
that original. Yeah. It was such a departure from that original vision that, in a lot of ways, the bones of Space Ghost, it was almost like it encased them in amber, and I get to be the archaeologist that like gets to
That's a
excavate
cool
those bones.
analogy.
Yeah, and that and seeing that they're just as strong as they were in 1966, and just as valid and just as evocative. And so, yeah, the word I keep going back to is potential. There's a universe of potential to these characters, and being the one who's able to explore that, it's a real gift.
Awesome. So when does the comic come out?
Sure. Issue one comes out May 1st, the Wednesday before Free Comic Book Day, and yeah, initial order cutoff is this week, and final order cutoff is April 8th. So if you call your local comic shop, we've got a ton of amazing covers. Francesco Mattina is doing our A cover. Jay Lee is doing our B cover. Bjorn Behrens is doing our C cover, and Michael Cho is doing our D cover, I believe. And there's a lot of variety of different covers. If you're a fan of foil covers, they've got those. Virgin covers, line art covers. They've even got a blank cover. You name it, like your comic shop will probably be able to provide it. And I'm realizing as I'm talking about artists that I've been remiss in that I haven't talked about our secret weapon of the book, which is Jonathan Lau, our artist. And he's sensational. I've been a huge fan of Jonathan's since his work on Green Hornet with Kevin Smith. And that was about 15 years ago when
Wow.
Dynamite came up on my radar. And I was really taken at the time of how kinetic his work is. He's got a really fun visual signature where he'll often have like some like you'll see the air kind of swirling. And it's cool because then it kind of shows like, okay, something just moved real fast here, or there's some energy building, or something just happened. And it's a cool look. And so I've been so taken, he nails the action in this book for sure. It's super kinetic. Space Ghost hits like a truck. We have a sequence in issue 2 that I remember writing it and being like, okay, that's like a fun thing to do, just to kind of show Space Ghost in action. And then Jonathan drew it, and I was like, this is the most beautiful sequence I've ever been a part of. He just
Splash
really,
pages
you'll
must be
know it when you see it. It's
phenomenal.
really beautiful looking. I'll even go so far as to say it's the sequence where we kind of quickly recap Space Ghost's origin in this brand new continuity. So you'll see it, and you'll be like, oh my goodness. But also, he's able to switch gears on a dime. And so the character work is just amazing. It's just a couple pages later, we see Jan and Jace just hanging out in Ghost Planet. And you can see how much like personality these kids have. And it's a really like, it's just, you can't help but fall in love with these kids. And I think that's because of the work that John is doing. And so, and he draws like a Terminator. he's churning out a script at least every like 3 weeks or so. And so, it keeps me on my toes, and that I'm like, okay, I got to keep up with this guy. So yeah, I feel very fortunate to be working with Jonathan and our colorist, Andrew Dahlhaus, who I had worked with on a Miles Morales short over at Marvel, and was so impressed with his work. And he's on our book at Jonathan's request, and they've worked together before. They're a really like kind of well-oiled machine, and he adds so much mood and atmosphere to the book that he's really kind of bringing his A game. And then our letterer, Taylor Esposito, who I've been friends with for a long time. It's actually he's indirectly responsible for me becoming a comics creator. He introduced me to my very first colorist, the late Jason Smith. And so Taylor and I have been buddies for a long time. We'd never actually worked together on a project aside from a two-page anthology short that still hasn't seen the light of day. And so being able to finally work with Taylor has been really exciting. And so yeah, I think it's a team that's so passionate about Space Ghost and really passionate about this project and the story that we're telling. And I think that really inspires all of us to bring our A game. So yeah, I'm working with a real top shelf crew. And I'm excited for readers to get to see all the cool stuff that we've got planned.
I'm totally looking forward to the first issue. And let's see, what does Space Ghost mean to you? Like, who is he to you? Because to me, I always thought like he was more than just an intergalactic Batman. I mean, but after reading that comic, he was just like, a
You
father
can see the
figure, and
parallels.
he's, yeah, he's like, go ahead.
I think. It's a great question. For me, you strip down the cosmic adventure, which is, I think, that's the environment that he works in. I mean, it's not Gotham. It's a wide universe. It's very much Flash Gordon. It's very much Star Wars. But I think for me, the thing is, he's a man who's healing, or maybe in desperate need of healing. And that's what kind of makes him this work in progress. And I think it's a man who's realizing that you can't go through life alone. And so, and it's one of those things that for somebody who has been alone for as long as he has been, that's a difficult lesson to learn. There's a little bit of that cognitive dissonance, which I'm sure a lot of people can relate to, where they've sort of fallen into a bad habit or fallen into a bad rut. They know it's not good for them. And at the same time, like, they almost cling to that bad habit. They've been in it long enough that it's almost painful to try to leave it, because then you have to acknowledge that you've been in it, and you have to acknowledge that it's been bad for you. And so, Space Ghost in that way, there's a little bit of arrested development there. And so in a certain way, that kind of puts them on a little bit more of an even playing field with these two teenagers. But yeah, I think, he's a work in progress, but I think ultimately there is an inherent goodness to him. That it would be so easy to leave those kids. And the fact that as the circumstances kind of pile up, and he realizes like he's their only hope, he's their only option, he does it. Despite like the inconvenience, despite the fact that it kind of in some way reminds him of the family that he already lost. But it winds up being the best possible thing for him. And I think, when I first pitched this to Dynamite, I gave Dynamite a 30-page pitch document. The only document longer than my pitch document was the notes I took in all the episodes. But I said on the very first page, this is the story of how Space Coast reclaims his humanity again. And I think that's a mission statement. That's the mission statement. And yeah, I think, That's what I will say is that, I know it's very reductive to say, oh, he's Space Batman or he's Space Superman, but you know what? Here's the difference that I can say, and being able to tell a story like this in sort of a long Halloween sort of thing where we have a beginning, middle, and end planned, is that he's able to grow. He's able to change. He doesn't have to stay static. And I think that's a real rarity in superhero comics, which by their very design, you can only kind of take them so far in any particular run. And more often than not, by the end of that run, you kind of have to put the toys back in the tool or in the toy box. And so we don't have to do that. And so being able to kind of like show this character's entire emotional trajectory and contrast it with all the just this amazing deep bench of villains. Yeah, honestly, it feels like the kind of superhero story that I wish I could tell all the time.
That's
It's a real
cool.
treat. Yeah.
Well, thank you for I just want to say thank you for coming on the show once more. I mean,
Oh,
it's
my
always cool to
pleasure.
have you. And now that you're doing Space Ghost 2 is even awesome. And
Thank you.
it's good. I mean, I believe that us 90s kids and people like us are going to be in for a treat when we
Yeah.
get this issue on May the 1st. And where can we find you on social media?
Sure. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Blue Sky at Pepos D, at David Pepos Comics on Facebook. You can subscribe to my newsletter, Pep Talks, at bit.ly/pepnews, or you can visit my website, which is currently under construction, at davidpepos.com. We got hit by hackers, so we're kind of rebuilding.
Oh, wow.
But yeah. And you can also find me at a bunch of conventions. Anybody in the LA area, you can find me at WonderCon in just a couple weeks. I'll be signing, I believe, at Emerald Knights Comics and the Comic Bug in Los Angeles for Free Comic Book Day weekend. I'll be at C2E2, San Diego Comic-Con, and New York Comic-Con as well.
Awesome. And of course, you can find me on Brianford 16, and then also you can read the Daily Planet newspaper that I contribute to, and then you can also find me on my this podcast on Earth 16, Geek Talk. We're gonna definitely post this episode really soon, and that way for
We'll signal boost it. I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with me. And thank you to everyone listening. It means the world. Call your local comic shop. Ask them to pre-order Space Ghost number one. Ask them to add Space Ghost to your pull list. It would mean a lot. My puppy's kibble does not come cheap. But more importantly, I want people to show that I want Dynamite to see that there's a real demand for this book because as many villains as I've crammed into this book, either as full-on spotlights or in cameos, there are still other deeper cut villains that I sadly had to kind of leave on the cutting room floor. But there is room for more stories in this overall meta arc. We can really slot them in a nice way. So yeah, tell your local comic shop you want Space Ghost, and I'll keep writing it as long as they'll have me.
Awesome. Well, thanks for being on, David. I mean, I'm looking forward to reading the comic, and I'll actually review it on the Daily Planet website.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on. And as I always say, stay ever so awesome. This is Brianford 16 signing out.